Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to another Nacho Tuesday. And today I have Jay Feldman here, Dr. Jay Feldman, actually, here with Otter PR. They're a PR strategy company. And without further ado, we'd love if you could introduce what you guys do to us.
Sure. Thanks for having me, Andy. I'm Jay. I'm a co-founder and CMO here at Otter PR. We help get small to medium-sized companies viral media coverage. That's articles online. That's interviews on TV. That's podcast interviews. Essentially utilizing other people's channels to reach a much wider audience, kind of like what we're doing here.
Awesome. So tell us about how you got to this point in your career. What got you down the PR path?
So you kind of mentioned it earlier. I'm a doctor. I went all the way through medical school and did a year of training as a family medicine doctor, and actually started a medical marketing firm while I was in medical school. And we were helping clinics, we were helping doctors, we were helping hospitals get the word out and master their digital marketing. And what I noticed through that journey was that a lot of money and interest was coming in through PR. We were having viral media success for a lot of our clients. We were trying to offer a lot of different pieces of the marketing puzzle, and PR really took off. So when something's working, you lean into it. And what I realized was that there was a huge gap in the market with public relations, especially for small to medium-sized companies. All the big titans in the industry that have been around for 100 years, you couldn't even talk to them for less than $100,000 annual contracts. And there was no good solution for the small to medium-sized businesses who are trying to compete against these giant companies. So we really leaned into PR and we filled that hole. And since then, we've kind of adopted several industries as our specialty. Medicine, legal, technology, and thought leadership is really where our wheelhouses lie.
Very nice. Yeah. And one thing I like about what your guys' services offers is that you really productize and kind of package your services in a nice way that's relatable to a lot of small business owners. They kind of know what they're paying for, if that makes sense. And honestly, very affordable, especially for companies that might not know where to start with PR. Obviously, one of the bigger questions or concerns around PR for a lot of people is, will I get anything from it? Right. And I think, you know, you guys have done a really good job kind of helping people get in the door. You have different tiers of packages too, so they could always do more, they can do less. And it really just, you know, gets people, I think, going down the right path for developing a PR strategy to see, you know, what they could actually really get from it.
Totally agree. And you just harped on it, but I would love for people to take that time and like go Google the top 10 PR firms in the country. We'll be on that list. But if you look at the websites for all of those different PR agencies except us, you will not see pricing anywhere. So productizing it, adding that layer of transparency, and then adding a guarantee has really helped us kind of stand out and excel when you are, you know, competing against these companies that have been around for hundreds of years and don't really care about their clients as much.
Yeah. And I've seen that a lot as actually with a lot of the bigger companies out there too. You know, I've worked with a lot of PR companies over the years, and, you know, sometimes it could be a little too small, you know, too small of a shop where they can't handle enough clients. They're too, they don't have enough people on their team. So they tend to get spread thin. Then sometimes you get these big, really big companies with, you know, these high fees. But a lot of these companies actually just, you know, they really don't give you enough attention actually, right? You're just another account that they have in their wheelhouse, if that makes sense.
It does. And I'll tell you what the secret is, and I hope there's no other PR agencies listening. The reason we've been so successful, one is the team. I'm in our headquarters now. We've got almost 70 full-time employees. But the secret has been finding people who are fed up with working in the news and turning them into publicists, putting them through our training program and putting them on the other side of that equation. People who come from the news make the best publicists. And that's made the biggest difference for our clients. And it's made a huge difference in terms of getting results because they already have the network and they know what people like them want to see on the receiving end.
Yeah, that's a good point actually, because they know exactly what they would be looking for. And you know, so when they're pitching other people, they probably already have relationships like you mentioned, but they know exactly how to really connect with the audience, which at the end of the day, I think a lot of PR, you know, if you would agree, a lot of it's based on relationships. It's a lot of very relationship focused type of strategy.
Comes down to relationships and storytelling and sales. A good publicist is going to be good at all three. Hopefully we'll come to you with relationships, but they need to be able to take a story and make it fun and digestible for the public, something the journalist is actually going to care about. And then they need to sell the journalist, contributor, anchor on the story and why they need to run it and continue to follow up until they push it through. So it's tough to find a good publicist and to train good publicists, but that's really the key.
Yeah, it all starts if you have the people that get it from the beginning. So I guess
that helps.
A lot of brands envy the ability to get into the press, but many aren't able to. When should a company consider developing a PR strategy, and what should they expect when they get started?
I'd say it's almost most important the earlier on you are, because you're really fighting an uphill battle competing with giant companies that have social proof. They've worked with all the biggest brands. They're being talked about everywhere. So as you're just getting started, that initial PR push can be really important for establishing some social proof, building trust, getting third-party validation from Forbes and TechCrunch that this is a legitimate company that has a legitimate product. So early on, super important. Another really important time to consider PR or do a massive PR push is if you're raising funds. If you're doing a fundraising round and you're pitching investors, having buzz that's going on in the media, people talking about you in various media publications that those investors know and like and trust, is a major factor for getting the investment and getting the valuation that you want.
Yep. Yeah. And a lot of people just kind of expect overnight results, but PR is something you got to commit to, really. You know, like you said, you got to have the right narrative. You have to be pitching the right people that care about that story, that understand their audience and knows this is what my audience would read. It's something you got to commit to over time, because once you really do start getting those logos on your website and people start seeing you in TechCrunch, it has a lot of credibility to it. And it's not just based on the impressions alone. It's also based on the fact that, you know, a major publication was talking about your company. It just takes you to a different level of credibility, even if you're a smaller company too. Then I think also, you know, you mentioned awards as well too. You know, I have a couple mixed thoughts on those. Sometimes I see them as like a gimmick to try to, you know, get these setup fees or sign-up fees, if you will. You know, that's kind of their business model. But there's a lot of awards programs, I think, that are also very valuable if you can get into them and actually earn an award. It actually looks really good for your company. What are your thoughts on the awards programs, and should companies pursue any such awards? And what should they look out for the ones that maybe they should not pay attention to?
It's funny that you mentioned that, and definitely people should be on alert, not just for awards that necessarily aren't credible, but not all PR is created the same. Mm-hmm. Not all news articles are going to offer the same level of credibility and value as others will. For example, getting featured in TechCrunch isn't necessarily the same thing as being featured in CEO Weekly. Mm-hmm. Although it sounds similar, you know, one has been around for a long time, holds a lot of back-end trust, holds a lot of domain authority. So that one is a lot more valuable. The same thing is true of awards. You know, getting being in the Inc. 500 or the Forbes 30 Under 30, like, these are really valuable programs that you can get into, that you can stamp everywhere and will actually move the needle. You'll get a lot of traffic from it. You'll get a lot of credibility and social proof from it. But because it does work so well, there's a lot of award companies, there's a lot of news publications that use the fact that a lot of people are looking for awards and looking for media coverage, and they'll spin up offers to sell those things. So you have to be on high alert, and you need to be able to filter through those opportunities and decide maybe that one's not worth our money and our time, but that one is.
Definitely. That's a great point. So I guess we mentioned earlier, everything starts with a compelling narrative and a story. What would you recommend for companies to go about? What kind of process should they go about to craft this compelling story or narrative before they begin going out and pitching?
So the story is going to be the hardest part, right? A lot of companies, especially when they're starting, they don't have a very compelling story. And compelling to you and compelling to the public is a very different thing. A lot of founders think they're the tits. They have this amazing backstory, rags to riches. Their product is the best thing on earth. It's usually not going to be the case. So really being able to contextualize the story for the public, think about it like marketing. If this was an ad, and that's a headline that you are running, is it going to perform well? Is it going to get a lot of clicks? Is it going to get a lot of attention? So think about your story that way. It's going to help you write your pitch in the best possible frame. The second thing to consider is the news cycle. Is the story relevant to something that's going on right now or relevant to the reader? So for example, if you developed a product, just using COVID, for example, because everyone was talking about COVID when it was happening, and everyone was trying to relate their product, their service, to that big news cycle, because that's what everybody was talking about.
Yeah.
If you can make your story relevant to something that's already happening in the news cycle, then getting that story picked up and getting attention for that story becomes much easier. So that's another really important thing to consider. The third is, what is your level of expertise? What problem are you solving? What do you know that other people don't? If you're able to figure that out and then get in touch with journalists who are looking for what you have to say, looking for your specific area of expertise, it becomes very easy to get media coverage for yourself and for your company.
Yeah, that's a great point there. I guess, what are some of the top PR narratives or stories happening this year that a lot of brands could maybe tap into?
So one thing is an election year. So everybody's hyper-polarized on both sides. So you can tap into any of the narratives going on there. Does work quite well, but a lot of brands like to shy away from anything polarizing and political. One of the big cell phone providers just had a huge hack in a recent month. So if you're a software provider and your software is a security device, adds a firewall, prevents hacks, like, that's a really good opportunity to use that news cycle and pitch journalists who are talking about cybersecurity and technology.
Yeah, that's a good point. A lot of times people just want to talk about their features, but not in a way that's relatable to the news cycle or what matters to the public. So they'll just say, "Hey, we launched this new feature out of the blue." You know, does anybody care really? But if you're able that feature launch and tie it into a larger narrative or story that's happening, like you just mentioned, that could really move the needle and actually hit.
Yeah. And there's also the opportunity with big events in your company. Say you are a medium-sized company and you raise $10 million in your Series A. Like, that's news. That's news that a lot of business technology publications care about and journalists care about. So any big events that you think should garner attention, you know, you just get the former CEO of Sprint or Radio Shack and he's now that's a big news story. That's something people will care about. So capitalize not only on events going on in the world, but big events in your company as well.
Yep. What tips do you offer for companies to get in front of the media or to have their pitch really stand out? Say if they do send them an email and actually pitch their story.
So the biggest piece of advice that I can give is, if you're dry pitching somebody, meaning they don't know who you are, it's a cold pitch, they've never heard of you before, and you're just saying, "Feature me, here's what's going on," you're going to have a hard time. You're going to be fighting an uphill battle, and your pitch better be amazing. And you can have an amazing pitch and have success if you're leveraging the things that we just talked about. Maybe you've got a big celebrity partnership or a brand deal, something that they're going to recognize, because they don't recognize you, you're going to have a hard time getting into their attention span. So one of the biggest pieces of advice I have for getting your pitch noticed and picked up is, build a relationship first. If they already know you, now they're going to be actually likely to read what it is that you're sending them and take and look at it differently than they would a cold pitch. Yeah. The other thing that you can do is use software like Quoted or Haro to figure out what they're actually looking for. If you do want to come in and do an expert quote, give them a piece of your expertise based on something that they've requested for something they're already working on, that's really low-hanging fruit, easy wins. But a lot of time, not the coverage that people are looking for. You can also run a press release, which is basically something that you can put out on a wire that gets seen by lots of journalists and contributors. You don't have to pitch it to anything. You can use a wire service like AB Newswire or newswire.com. And then if it's a good story, they will see it and they will contact you. A lot of different ways to get out there, but relationship is by far the most important thing.
Yeah, that's a good point too. I also I found like referencing prior work that they've done to demonstrate that you actually do follow their work, especially if it's cold. You could say, "Hey, I saw you wrote these articles about XYZ, and that's why I think this story is relatable to you and your audience." That really kind of, you know, shows them that you did your homework actually, and you're pitching them for a reason. It's not just like going into some automation email marketing tool, which is kind of the case for a lot of people these days.
Right. And that's a great point. If you are going to cold pitch, do your due diligence and send them one-to-one emails after having researched them and their previous work. It will be the difference maker between you getting your pitch read and you getting your pitch spammed.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's especially for journalists too, it's quality, not quantity, right? So you want to make sure, if you really want to get into these publications, that you really understand, you know, what you're pitching, why it matters to them, why it matters to their audience, even more importantly, because they're really, at the end of the day, ambassadors for their readers. So really just make sure that's aligned. But you also did bring up a great point about relationships too. And that's where I think PR companies come in to be very powerful, because you guys, you know, kind of work with these people on a regular basis all the time. So when they're getting an email that's coming in from you guys, they're like, oh, Jay from Otter PR, we've worked with these guys so many times. I'm going to take a look at what this guy's actually pitching me for this new story, as opposed to somebody they've never heard of before. So I think, you know, finding PR companies that have those relationships and a good reputation, I think, is, you know, critical as well.
100%. And not just because we've already have those open lines of communication with the journalists, but we've got our finger on the pulse of the news cycle, which people underestimate the value of. It's a full-time job seeing what's going on in the media, especially in your specific sector, and then relating whatever your client is doing to that thing and knowing what those journalists typically write about, so that when you are pitching that journalist, you know that it's going to be relevant not only to what they typically cover, but what's going on in the news cycle right now. And that's really kind of the golden formula for getting top tier media coverage.
Yeah, that's a great point. So I guess what other time-proven PR strategies can every tech brand utilize?
So the big ones are utilizing the right tools. If you're gonna DIY it, Quoted's a great tool to see what people are requesting in terms of expertise. You can go on there and just answer requests. You can use tools like Meltwater or Cision to bulk pitch journalists, and you can make a big list, figure out what their emails are, what they cover, and then do the one-to-one emails like we spoke about. So if you do want to like figure out where they're living or how to get in touch with them, these databases are do work quite well, and you can do this on your own. Again, it is difficult. But honestly, the best thing for a tech company who's looking to expedite that media coverage and their results is to work with a good PR firm that already has those relationships and knows what's going on in their sector. That's really the fastest way to success.
Yeah, totally true. Because like we mentioned, you know, it's quality, not quantity. So a lot of people might just think they're going to start spamming a bunch of media people and they're going to get results from it. But usually that's hardly the case, unfortunately. So,
and that's what they typically do. We've had clients come to us, PR is not working. Like, we tried it in house, and then we'll go and look, and they signed up for one of these databases. They took their story and wrote the worst press release and pitch that I've ever seen. And then they just spam blasted it to thousands of irrelevant journalists that aren't covering their topic. Mm-hmm. And of course it's not going to work. Of course you're going to get all negative responses. There is an art to it as much as a science. Yeah. And if you're learning it for the first time, you're going to do it wrong. It's not an easy thing to do, especially that personalization, the relationship. Like, that's a necessary component that you can't forget.
Yeah. And what's the worst that could happen, I guess? I mean, I'm sure some people can, you know, possibly even get blacklisted if they spam the wrong people or spam them too many times with a terrible message.
It's true. I've actually seen journalists, I guess the worst thing that can happen is it's happened before. We'll write a negative story about a terrible pitch that they saw, or they thought they were sending a pitch or a press release about that company in a good light. And the journalist just kind of took it and like, oh my God, like, this sounds horrible. And they wrote a negative article framing that company in a negative way. And it was all factual evidence from the press release that they wrote and distributed. Just the pickup was not what they expected. Yeah. So that might be the worst thing that can happen. Obviously, you can get blacklisted. You can have negative feedback from the journalists. But that was a unique situation. Crisis management them out of, which was an interesting part of PR as well.
Oh, geez. I guess, sometimes bad news could be good news, though, right? How can you, you know, potentially spin a bad story into something positive or good for the brand, you think?
How can you spin one? They say all media is good media. It's not true. I've seen a really downward spiral. So the sooner you can intervene and spin it, the better. And there's always an angle, you know, whether it's trying, you know, kill this story and run a positive story instead, and try and get that picked up to overshadow the negative story, which in 50% of the cases, usually what we'll do. But sometimes there's something about the negative news cycle, the negative articles that you can take and spin into a win. And that's really comes down to strategy, where that becomes most important. People who have seen the situation before can assess. And we have like all hands meetings where we get really creative and figure out what the best approach is going to be, who has contacts here and here and here that are going to distribute this and get involved. So those are a lot of fun.
Yep. Yeah, I could see that too. It's always good to have that strategy in place before you go out, especially sometimes even some of the best stories might also have like a little gray area to them, if you will, where, you know, it can go the other way really quickly. And you have to kind of anticipate what those could be. So you would have a PR strategy to actually address that as soon as, you know, if a negative outcome did in fact occur from that.
100%. And I'd say the best stories usually do have a little bit of controversial nature to them. And we love working with those clients because they have the most capacity to go viral, and they usually do. You just want to make sure that they go viral in the right way.
Great point, especially in today's world.
Yeah, exactly. So
what could you do, I guess, to leverage some of the positive press that you've received? You know, how can where should a company utilize that? What do you recommend for that?
The PR is such an interesting thing because there's multiple benefits to getting strong, good media coverage. Obviously, the SEO benefit, you're getting backlinks, you're building your domain authority of your site, you're getting traffic, hopefully, from those articles or news coverage that's being disseminated. So hopefully you're getting some new impressions and sales from that. But like you mentioned earlier, the social proof is huge. So you should be leveraging that PR coverage on your social media. You can turn it into social posts, turn it into a blog post, put it on the press page of your website, use it in your advertising to increase conversions, use it in your pitch deck if you're talking to investors. Really, there's a million ways to leverage the social proof aspect, the SEO aspect, and then use it to increase conversions. People usually overlook that, but we, for example, use all of our social proof and press on all of our landing pages, sales pages, a lot of times even in our email signatures. So sky's the limit.
Yeah, it adds a lot of credibility to everything, hence why the conversion rates tend to go up as well.
Yes.
Especially in a highly competitive field too, right? People like to see, you know, any sort of brand that has some sort of authority or reputation to it.
Highly competitive fields, but also there's certain sectors where people depend more heavily on trust than others.
Yep.
For example, cybersecurity, finance, banking. Like these are industries where you're like, okay, I'm going to trust them with my finances and my bank account. I better trust them. Mm-hmm. And if they have the stamp of approval from something like CNBC and Bloomberg and Forbes, and you see what they're saying about them, that definitely eases my mind a little bit when I'm working with that company. So if you're in an industry like that, yeah, you should invest a little bit more heavily in PR than if you're in an industry where trust is a little bit less important.
Yeah, that's like the new social media app that you might just try out with a burner email, then, you know, try it out and then you're done with it.
Right. Or the $20 thing that you're buying on Amazon. Like they probably don't need a massive PR campaign. But if you're going to spend, you know, $1,000 on some technology device, you're going to want to make sure that the thing works and that there's buzz going on about that, like the Oura Ring.
Yeah.
We just talked about a PR campaign that they did. They want everybody saying how transformative and amazing this device is and how big of a difference it makes. It's one thing for the company to say it. It's another thing for Men's Health to say it and GQ to say it. That carries a totally different weight and different impact.
Yeah, that's a great point. So I guess what challenges did you guys face as a company when you guys were putting together outer PR, and how did you overcome those challenges?
As a newer PR company, building trust with our clients was probably our biggest challenge, because you're going up against, you know, PR firms that have been around for 100 years and they have those established relationships. We didn't when we were starting, and it was hard to pitch that we did. So our pitch was very different. It's not that we have a big team and tons of relationships. Our pitch was we're new, we're young, and we're hungry. So you're not going to be just like another number to us. We're going to, you know, tooth and nail to make things happen for you. You know, we charged less and we built those case studies over time. So that was probably the biggest sales challenge. Now, we also had a couple PR challenges early on. We represented like a congressman from New York, and he went through this crazy crisis management. You can probably Google it, Congress New York sex tape. And I'm sure it'll come right up. But dealing with challenges of running an early PR firm and I guess biting off more than you can chew, getting yourself into situations that maybe you weren't ready for at the time. There was that one and several others like it. But you learn from those. You hire people that can handle those. You know what you can take on and what you can't. It's paid off. We're one of the top 10 PR firms in the country, according to every list you can look at. And it's been an awesome journey.
Yeah, definitely whatever you guys are doing is working. So, you know, you practice what you preach, so to speak. So I've definitely seen your guys' company pop up everywhere. And if you guys can handle one of those kind of scandals, I mean, what can't you handle?
Right. Once you learn from something like that, you're ready for anything.
Yeah. That's the key to life too, right? If you're not pushing yourself to the limits, you know, you're not going to grow. Like me moving to New York City, right? You know, it's a challenge to kind of be up here and compete with some of the best in the world, but you know, it makes us better at the end of the day.
I think everybody should live in New York for a few years. I did it. I grew a ton. I'm sure you're going through the same thing yourself. Yeah, you're surrounded by winners, by people who are motivated and they're hustling, and you're forced to grow and forced to adapt. So it's an awesome thing, just like business.
Yep. Yeah. But you also appreciate, like, I came from the country as well too. So like I'm from the Seattle area. So you know what like real outdoors is too. So I get over to Seattle a lot still.
Good. You need to escape the concrete jungle or you start to go crazy. Yeah, we used to go to upstate New York a lot, take our dogs hiking in the mountains. You need to.
Yeah. I've heard a lot about that. The Catskills, right?
Yep.
Yeah. I haven't been up there yet. It's just, up here, like for me, not having a car here, I'm used to having my car on the West Coast. So you think everything in terms of like, how do I get there? Is it a train? Is it a plane?
Yeah, it's true. No one has a car in New York City, so it's tough. We used to borrow my friend's car. His family lived in Long Island, so we would take that up upstate New York. But go rent a car. Go take your dog or whatever to the Catskills Mountains. Get a cabin. It's beautiful up there, especially this time of the year.
Yeah, I have to make sure I do that finally. it's so easy to get stuck in the island and just there's so many great things happening here too.
Too many. It's so distracting.
I know,
FOMO,
right?
FOMO is tough.
Speaking of which, New York Tech Week's next week too. So that's going to be really busy up in these parts.
Yeah, and you guys have an event in New York City. I'm sure anyone listening is going to be there. I wish I could make it. That's going to be awesome.
Yep. Yeah, definitely. Next time you're up in New York City, you'll have to look us up. I guess, do you have any books that you would recommend for anybody interested in learning more about PR?
Learning more about PR? I don't think I learned anything about PR from reading books. Honestly, I talked to so many PR owners and experts, and I consumed a couple online courses. My reading in the past several years has been more focused on business development and mindset. I'd say Choose Your Enemies Wisely is the biggest book I've read in the past year by Patrick Beck David. Really an innovative idea that I haven't read elsewhere. Really kind of shows you how to think. And when you're running a PR campaign, especially during crisis, there's going to be a lot of enemies as you're growing, as you're building enemies by getting big on social media, making money, taking on your competition. Really helps you kind of frame competition differently in a way that's going to help you grow faster and be the best that you can be.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people would probably say that, you know, don't pay too much attention to your competitors, kind of keep an eye on them, but like you got to be focused on growing your business, growing yourself and, you know, making the next big step. So I guess what's next for Outer PR? Where do you see the company in 5 years?
Hopefully. I mean, we're already doing it. I mean, we're taking on the Titans. We represent Alibaba. We've represented members of U.S. Congress. So my mission as a company is to really level the playing field for small to medium-sized businesses that can't afford the big Titans of PR who are charging $100,000 retainers. So I want to give them the same level of service, if not better, to get media coverage that's going to put them ahead of some of their biggest competitors. So I see us, you know, we're at almost 70 employees now, hopefully hitting 100 by the end of 2025. And I'd like to get more big brand deals. I'd like to take Coca-Cola. I'd like to take Nike from some of these traditional historic PR firms. So that's next for me. And I know we can do it.
Well, yeah, you guys are already in the top 10. Time to get to number one.
that's what I'm talking about. Yes,
that's
sir.
The New York mindset right there, you know? but that's great. Any last things you'd like to let people know about why they should choose Outer PR? I mean, I already kind of know, we already listed a bunch of reasons, but for anybody, just tuning in right now and, just to kind of put you in the spotlight for one last time.
Yeah. So if you're starting off and you're trying to compete against industry titans in your industry, or if you're raising funds or you care about the valuation of your company, you need PR. So we're going to drop the sales pitch on why you need PR there, but why you should choose Outer PR. We're month to month, so we put the onus on ourselves to get coverage for you every single month. We only take on clients that we know we can secure top-tier coverage for. So if you don't have a story, there's a good chance we will turn you down. But we will let you know if a story does exist and that we can get that coverage for you. We're super affordable, so you won't be paying hundreds of thousands of dollars with us. It's several thousand a month, and we guarantee top-tier results every single month. Our team's awesome. We're based in Orlando and St. Pete, so we'd love to meet you guys in person. And that's it. I look forward to representing some of you.
Awesome. Well, where could they learn more about your company?
OtterPR.com, or you can follow us on social at OtterPR. We should pop right up. We're everywhere. We'll start to hit you with our ads for the next 30 days if you visit. So you'll learn a lot more about us if you do that. OtterPR.com, like the animal.
I like it. You're a good marketer. Yeah, those retargeting ads are really effective. Well, great. Yeah, everybody check it out. It's OtterPR.com. You could also find them as a partner in our services marketplace. We do have OtterPR there, of course. They're going to be in the best place to buy SaaS and services. Jade, really looking forward to growing our businesses together and looking forward to seeing you guys get to the number one spot. But we'll be watching you guys in that top 10 move up the leaderboard month by month here, and looking forward to growing together.
Back at you. Thank you for having me, Andy. It's been fun.
You too.